doctor, he got a start helping folks with his healing. Own hands. He knows the human condition well. Oh, the stories he could tell. His knowledge and wisdom stands. Run, Paul.
Thank you for joining me for this edition of the Freedom Message. And we are at Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. The number to call into the show and participate is 888-228-4494. 888-228-4494. The number did change. There's a new call-in number, so jot that down, 888-228-4494. I haven't been able to take very many calls in recent shows because I've just had so much to cover. But today there's not a lot of video, not a lot of new video to play. And we are going to spend some time going over yesterday's somewhat alarming piece by Glenn Beck, a very lengthy piece, I might add, too, attacking Ron Paul and supporters as potential terrorists, an internal threat. So we're going to play that for you now, and then I'm going to actually play it again just to step through it and pick it apart for you. So here comes the piece by Glenn Beck yesterday.
While our foreign enemies are the obvious ones, the physical threat may be developing domestically as well. And here's how I got there. As I told you last week, Ron Paul raised over $4 million in one day. That's huge news. His supporters raised the cash on November the 5th to commemorate Guy Fawkes. This guy was a British terrorist who tried to overthrow... Fox was caught the very last minute, some say with his hand on a torch about to light the gunpowder. Fox was caught the very last minute, some say with his hand on a torch about to light. The vast majority of Paul's supporters take this little metaphor the way it's intended, as a rallying cry to create a dramatic political shift. It's really not the way I would go, you know, tying my movement in with a historical terrorist attack. especially in post 9/11 America. But hey, you know, I'm a libertarian at heart. I get it. You raise money however you want, as long as you're not blowing other people up. But America, here's what you need to know tonight. Ron Paul's supporters are tapping into something that's very real. It's something that I've talked about on this program for a very long time. The rising tide of disenfranchisement in this country. And it's coming from all sides of the political spectrum. If that feeling of disenfranchisement leads to political discussion, then our system works perfectly. But if fringe elements take that disenfranchisement and turn it into violence, we endanger the freedoms we're supposedly all fighting for. David Horowitz is the author of Indoctrination U, The Left's War Against Academic Freedom. Have you here? Jonathan, let me start with you. Guy Hawks, or Fox, as I understand it, he is... Have you here? Jonathan, let me start with you. Guy Hawks, or Fox, as I understand it, an old-timey Timothy McVeigh.
Sorry, say that again.
He is England's version in the 1600s of Timothy McVeigh, except his bomb didn't work. He's a terrorist,
yes.
Is he not?
Yes, he was a terrorist, very much so. He had a very clear set of views. He was a Catholic and wanted to return Britain to a Catholic realm. And he was backed by the Pope in Rome to blow up Parliament, blow up James I and his government,
okay.
And overthrow and then have a Catholic a Catholic king reinstated.
All right. Now, one of his big things, and I think this is where it ties into today, one of his big things was... He felt that nobody was listening to him, that the government wouldn't respond. We felt that way, and that's why we disbanded from the from Great Britain in the 1700s as well, because we felt like the king wasn't listening to us. Do you sense at all that this is the same kind of thing that is going on in Great Britain and in America right now?
Yes, this is a problem we are facing at the moment in Great Britain, certainly, and also in America. We have governments that are promising an awful lot of things for the voters, but they aren't delivering on them. But nobody is actually asking the people, what do you actually want? What is it in education that you want? What is it in life that you actually want? Nobody cares.
Well, David, let me go to you, because you were a Marxist in the 60s. You were a radical. You were a guy that was exactly the opposite of where you are now. Winston Churchill, I believe, said that, you know, when you grow up, you need to get some common sense. Is this the same kind of thing, or is this worse than what it was in the 60s with the radicals then?
No, I think it's much worse. So first of all, my parents were communists, and they were part of a vast conspiracy that was orchestrated from Moscow and wanted America to lose the Cold War. We have a lot of people in this country who think that we're the enemy. And a lot of them are drawn from the ranks of the old left and the new left, the secular left. But to them has been added a whole new constituency of Muslim radicals, of which there are many in this country and in our campuses. And then the Democratic Party leaders, out of a very short-sighted desire for political advantage, have defected from a war that they all supported, and have denigrated the mission of this war and fueled the fires you call disenfranchisement.
Let me take it back the other way, though, David. It's not just the left this time. It's also the right. I mean, Ron Paul's supporters are also the right, and that's from people saying, you know what, Bush has really not told us the truth, not told the American people the truth on government spending, on the border, and even when it comes to the war. You didn't tell us that we are in the fight of our life. You told us to go shopping.
Well, but he did say it's going to be a long war. You're right. There's a strain of isolationism and anarchy in the American tradition, which Ron Paul is tapping into. I think it's very significant that he chose Guy Fawkes as a totally in bed with the Islamo-fascists. Totally in bed with the Islamo-fascists. and have turned against this country. Totally in bed with the Islamo-fascists.
On ours, you're seeing that it's being sold out as well. There's something
that if our allies in America go to war, that we will join you in that battle. I believe. We are now looking at a backlash where everybody is saying, oh, we've got to get out of Iraq now, and
okay.
Once you've begun something, you've got to stop it.
Jonathan, thank you very much. David, I'd love to have you on the radio program and talk about the word revolution too literally. Agree or take the word revolution?
Okay, so, well, that was quite substantive in terms of giving me some talking points. First of all, the theme of the piece at the top, under text, divided we fall. Divided we fall. In the background, that's the theme of the entire piece. Now, we've heard this before. I think we heard this from Huckabee at one of the candidate debates. No, Ron Paul, if we made a mistake together, then, well, basically what Huckabee said, we continue to make the same mistake together. We stand together. And what did Ron Paul say? Well, no, if we made a mistake, then we correct it. And this theme that we must be together at all costs, united, it really has an underlying fascism to it. National unity, unite behind the leader, and such themes really are anti-American, because individuals concerned with individual freedoms and thinking for themselves are not concerned with unity. These are socialistic, communistic, and fascistic themes. Divided we fall, okay? So let's just start off with that. He admits that the money that Ron Paul raised on the 5th of November was huge news, and obviously he's very stimulated to use it against us as much as possible. Now, he makes reference to the fact that that it was the donation day was referred to as a money bomb, something which was clearly a mistake and inadvisable. And I'm pleased that it seems, and I'm hoping, that term has gone out of use. I do believe that disenfranchisement means, Mr. Beck, that you no longer have access to the right to vote or some other exercise of freedom. When you become disenfranchised, you no longer have access to an enfranchisement such as the vote. Now, what you clearly meant was disenchantment. Disenchantment, yes. We are disenchanted, and it is entirely impossible that we are, in fact, disenfranchised, because, as we know, elections in America are questionable in terms of their validity, in terms of the actual count of the vote. So we are disenfranchised, but what you in fact meant, sir, is disenchanted, and we will certainly cop to that. He tries to say that the situation, get his guests to come out and say that the situation we are now facing is analogous to pre-revolutionary war times when we were being oppressed by the British, and This is very interesting. He seems to be positioning himself lately as the radical, that he is establishing this idea of himself, basically, and those that he purports to represent, as those who understand that we have lost the country. And it seems as though their prescription for solving the problem of losing the country is to continue to do the exact same thing and just complain about it. So he positions himself as a libertarian, as someone who is anti-establishment. And I think we can maybe see now the emergence of something that perhaps we could start to call neo-libertarianism, which is just basically neocons who are repositioning themselves to appear as anti-establishment. That appears to be the function and the role of this little cog in the machine named Glenn Beck, the neo-libertarian. So they make it clear, one of the guests does at least, that we are worse than communists. Yes, we are worse. Ron Paul and Ron Paul supporters are worse than communists. This was stated on this show. We are told that Ron Paul supporters think that we, quote unquote, we are the enemy. Now here, that goes back to the divided we fall, we must be united theme, that there is this, somehow there is this we, that we are just something of a united mass, and that there is no I here, okay? I mean, I am an individual. There's no we. What is this we that Ron Paul supporters are supposed to be against? Well, this would be the state, wouldn't it? Because isn't the state the repository of that national identity? Okay? So when they say we, they are saying the state. And so under neo-libertarianism, as expounded by the brilliance of Glenn Beck, the state is we, and we are the state. Pretty distant from actual libertarianism, wouldn't you say? So we, Ron Paul supporters, say that we, the state, is the enemy. Well, okay, I can roll with that. Yeah, I think that the state is the enemy of the American people. It's been taken over by special interests who are entirely and completely corrupt, who do not have the national interest in mind or heart, and are basically operating it as their own private fiefdom. Is that something that we should rebel against, overturn and replace? Is that something that needs to be challenged? Is that something that calls us to take back our country? Sure. And Glenn Beck, apparently on some superficial level, is attempting to agree that he's attempting to steal the thrust of our argument and separate Ron Paul and the Ron Paul movement from the thrust of its argument through defamation, and to take it for himself. So if you can't beat them, try to join them, is what's happening here. So there is increased recognition in the establishment that what we are saying in the freedom message, in the freedom movement, cannot be disputed. It is incontrovertibly true. Okay, so what they're doing is trying to take the message away from us and incorporate into their new neo-libertarianism some bastardized version of it. So there is a political battle to be fought there. He states that Ron Paul chose, no, one of his guests did, apologize, Ron Paul chose Guy Fawkes as an image. No, Ron Paul did not choose Guy Fawkes. You lied, sir, on national television. And that's defamation. I think there's a lawsuit there. Ron Paul chose Guy Fawkes as an image. He did not. Supporters of Ron Paul, who planned this November 5th event, chose that image against the advice of many of us in the Ron Paul support movement. Lou Rockwell is in bed with the Islamofascists. Really interesting. Considering that there are almost no Islamofascists, that it's something that they actually made up. It's an invented term. It's tough to be in bed with something that almost doesn't exist. And to the extent that it does exist, it's been provoked. It's blowback for U.S. policy in the Middle East. And to the extent that it does exist, make any kind of an argument that Lou Rockwell is in bed with them, unless you're simply going to just state it in Glenn Beck's show on a... and you're sitting in a chair and you tell the audience that you have this degree lower, then you can just simply make it's like Ron Paul showed up with the Islamofascists with absolutely no supporting evidence whatsoever, and apparently just stating that Ron Paul revolution slogan is being taken too seriously by the Ron Paul supporters. And I think that you can say that we take it very seriously, and I think Ron Paul takes it seriously. And he says frequently that this is a revolution that's happening right now. I think that you can say that that's accurate. Now, it just is just a matter of how you define revolution. As Ron Paul has defined it, it's a continuation of the revolution that happened in 1776. A continuation of that revolution by other means, by technological means, by organizational means, okay, in support of that original revolution, in defense of that original revolution, for the restoration of that original revolution, not in contravention of it. So the implication is that the implication of taking it too seriously is that Ron Paul supporters are preparing violence and to take up actual arms against the state. This is clearly what he's implying. Okay. Now, on a certain level, that's kind of flattering in a sense that... no, I take that back. That's not quite the right word. It's interesting that we are striking such fear into the hearts of establishment peons like Glenn Beck that he feels the necessity to have this piece and to go to such extreme lengths to paint us as terrorists and armed revolutionaries. So I think it's significant because, as you know, I've reported on the homegrown terrorism and violent radicalization prevention act, which sailed through the House of Representatives, 406-6, and 404-6, and that act is the initial salvo in the state's campaign to classify entire segments of the population as enemy, the enemy within. And that's what that bill is. It's in the Senate right now, and I have a report on a recent committee hearing. And I'm going to read some of this for you. House committee presentation equates 9/11 truth with terrorism, represents the internet and sites such as MySpace and YouTube as a virtual terror training camp. This is by Steve Watson and Paul Watson from Infowars.net. A House Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing on terrorism and the internet held last week and broadcast on C-SPAN, and I'm going to have that video for you tomorrow, featured a panel of experts, including representatives formerly of the RAND Corporation and the Simon Wiesenthal Center, who presented 9/11 truth sites alongside sites that celebrate the attacks of 9/11. And offer training in terrorist tactics. So in other words, they were grouped together. The hearing was chaired by Democratic Representative Jane Harman. Okay, she's the one who sponsored the bill with Ranking Republican Representative Dave Reichert. Okay, these are the two main cohorts behind this criminal anti-constitutional piece of legislation, the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Prevention Act. Okay, this hearing was chaired by them. It was supposed to focus on the use of the internet by homegrown terrorism, yet in a shocking move, it blatantly related 9/11 truth to so-called radical jihadists. In a very poorly... Now, think what you want about 9/11 truth. You have your own opinion. Or if you don't have one, form one, whatever. The point of this here is a segment of the population holding a particular point of view is being demonized and classified as an internal threat. This is the essence of what I'm trying to get through to you on this, okay? Some of these are conspiracy theories that are presented in a closed view of the world, such as blaming 9/11 as an outside job, which is ridiculous. It's called an inside job. And this is the presentation that somebody by the name of Mark Weitzman gave at this hearing, or blaming outside groups such as the U.S. government or the Jews, etc. Some of these are pro-Iraqi insurgency videos. Some of them are media portals that people can enter, ones that you saw earlier with the flags, the U.S. flags, show that they were based on U.S. servers. Under the heading Internet Incubator of 9/11 Conspiracies and Disinformation, Weitzman threw in video of WTC-7 collapsing on 9/11 as posted on various 9/11 Truth and affiliated sites. We need to be aware, quote-unquote, we need to be aware of the empowering effect of the Internet upon extremists. We must have researchers and responders for both of the technical and linguistic skills to keep us informed and to be able to respond to what is online. We must make users aware of the misinformation and the techniques used by extremists. So there's a clear linking between a segment of the population, a significant segment, that believes that 9/11 was an inside job, and extremism. Okay, violent radicalization. Remember that term. You're going to be hearing it on the news. They're going to start using it. They're going to start using it just the way they started using Islamofascist, a word that never even existed before. They started using it. Now it's in the dictionary. They're going to start using violent radicalization. This group has been violently radicalized. Yes, Bill, that's right. Yes, well, we have all the evidence of violent radicalization happening among college students now. Authorities have to take measures, you know. So the violent radicalization theme is what you're going to hear here. Extremism. Thought control. Thought policing. This is what we're talking about. I'll just read a little bit here. Weitzman's presentation represents the latest disgusting effort to lump in the movement to uncover the truth behind the 9/11 attacks, a movement which includes hundreds of first responders, firefighters, police, former intelligence officials, and the largest 9/11 families representative group with jihad groups and real Islamic extremists in order to demonize it. Okay, I'm not going to read any more of this, but it just gives you an idea of how it begins. Now, when does that start to become an attack on Ron Paul and the Ron Paul movement and the freedom movement in general? Where do they start? How and when does that start? And should we be giving them any ammo? For God's sake, please let's never repeat the mistake of the and the terrorism connection associated with the November 5th effort. And the use of the term money bomb really ought to be discontinued. So, there is the current situation on that. Now, in addition to that, we have the situation where we now have an attorney general who won't state that waterboarding is terror, torture. Mukasey has been confirmed. He sailed through the Senate, even though, and there was this big dramatic, he won't say the word that it's torture. We really can't approve that. And I mean, they grumbled about that for a couple of days and then voted him in. A man who cannot say that waterboarding is torture. So that's where we're at. They are more than prepared to label us as terrorists, as an internal threat. Label us in such a way that we can be held under the USA Patriot Act, under the U.S. Military Commissions Act, without habeas corpus, without due process of law, and tortured. That's where we're at right now in this country. We're fighting for our lives as a nation. We're fighting well, and we're seeing dramatic progress. And as a matter of fact, let's go on to that. What I'm going to do for you now is talk about some of the new polls that have come out. There are, let's see. Polls now show Ron Paul passing Thompson in New Hampshire and tied with McCain in Iowa. Republican presidential candidate, this is from USA Daily. Polls now show Ron Paul passing Thompson in New Hampshire and tied with McCain in Iowa. Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul is forcing polls to adjust and quickly. A poll released Tuesday by CBS and New York Times shows Paul at 8% New Hampshire. That's up a percent from the last poll that we heard on New Hampshire. Ahead of Fred Thompson and tied with McCain in Iowa. This follows polls released by the Boston Globe in association with the University of New Hampshire Survey Center and the Marist College Institute of Public Opinion that also showed Ron Paul passing Fred Thompson in New Hampshire. The polls confirm what we already know. Congressman Paul is catching on in the early primary states, said Paul campaign spokesman Jesse Benton. His unifying message of freedom, peace, and prosperity is resonating strongly with voters in Iowa and New Hampshire, and we're rapidly gaining support nationwide. The CBS New York Times poll was conducted November 2nd through the 12th. On November 5th, the Ron Paul campaign brought in a record-breaking $4.2 million online and an additional $1 million to end the week. Yesterday, John Zogby told Sean Hannity that Ron Paul may embarrass some frontrunners in New Hampshire by getting 15 to 18% of the vote. The adjustments by pollsters and pundits polling results regarding Ron Paul raise the issue of whether polls are an inaccurate and lagging indicator of a candidate's support. Paul had been sitting at 1 to 2% for months in media-generated polls despite raising considerable funds and drawing large crowds. Paul rallied a crowd of 5,000 in Philadelphia last weekend. Fox News and the IOGOP have decided to use 5% in Iowa or national polls as a bar to exclude candidates from a presidential debate in early November, in early December. So again, Ron Paul polling ahead of Thompson in New Hampshire at 8% and tied with McCain in Iowa. One would think there would be major news media coverage of that. No, just a small little online daily, USA Daily. Thank you to USA Daily for putting that report out, by the way. Let's see. Ron Paul, third in Texas straw poll. The Hill headlines that Houston's Ron Paul finished third in a Texas straw poll. Ron Paul, trouble back home. While Texan Ron Paul's stock is soaring nationally, there is trouble on the home front. In September, Paul finished third in the straw poll of 1,300 Texas activists who had been delegates to recent Republican conventions. The congressman corralled just 17% of the votes, trailing California's Duncan Hunter with 41%. I don't get the point of that. Third place and 17% seemed pretty good when you consider the polling numbers are supposedly telling us that he's at 1 or 2%, so I don't understand that. This is, seems to be about something, even though it's dated on the 14th of November, seems to be referring to some basically old news. Okay, here. At the bottom, meanwhile, a new poll shows Paul attracting 8% running as a libertarian. The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone survey found Hillary Clinton leading Rudy Giuliani by 3 percentage points in a four-way race that includes Ron Paul. It's interesting that they would even bother doing this kind of a polling. They actually did a poll, the Rasmussen Report, which is a significant poll, that includes Ron Paul running as a Libertarian candidate and Ralph Nader representing the Green Party. The poll shows Clinton earning 42% of the vote while Giuliani attracts 39%. Ron Paul is the choice for 8% and Ralph Nader is preferred by 4% and 7% are not sure. It is somewhat interesting that Paul, a relative unknown in the national scene, is polling twice Nader's numbers. Then again, there's no reason to think that Paul's going to mount a third-party bid if he fails to win the Republican nomination. I think there's no reason to think that he won't, other than the fact that he says he won't, which, as I've gone on record, I don't believe. I think that, you know, politically, we need to say that we're not interested in a third party. We're going to win the Republican nomination. There needs to be that confidence. There needs to be that focus, and that's what we need to say. But of course, if he doesn't win, if he is defrauded, or if he doesn't win the Republican nomination, there will be a third-party candidacy, or there will be an independent run. Okay, and there's more poll results here. Paul poll results. Ron, this is from Dunklifant. Okay, donkey and elephant combined gives you Dunklifant, big teeth, huge ass. That's their surprisingly reasonable. That is their slogan. Ron Paul polling at 8% nationally as a third-party nominee. Okay, same report. Must be Rasmussen. Yep, same Rasmussen report. Okay, Los Angeles Times. Odds long, but improving for Thompson, Paul in Nevada. Ron Paul and Fred Thompson have seen strong gains in a recent Zogby poll here, but they have still a long way to go. And the poll has some bad news for Rudy Giuliani, an erosion of support from 37% to 28% since the last Zogby poll here in April, though he still leads Mitt Romney by 8 percentage points. Thompson's numbers climbed from 7% to 13%, and Paul saw a gain from 1% to 7%. This is in Nevada. Interestingly, Paul has a bit of a gender gap here, 12% support among Republican men and 2% among Republican women. So, even in the fatally flawed polls of the establishment media, we are seeing progress, and I am fully confident that these polls do not represent anything close to being accurate. So I'm going to show you something now. There is a full-page ad in USA Today put out by Ron Paul supporters, and I'm going to flash that up on the screen for you. Give me a sec. Okay. I'm trying to remember where it is. Here we go. Now, that's just the top half, and I know you can't read the text, so I'm going to skim through it for you. This is a full-page ad in the USA Today. An open letter to the American people. In 1776, our founding fathers risked their lives, fortune, and sacred honor to set up a free and prosperous nation. They warned us that it was our responsibility to keep it that way, but we have strayed from their wise counsel. We, the founders, warned of the dangers of excessive taxation. Now you must labor nearly 6 months of the year to pay your taxes at all levels as the economy groans beneath the cruel burden. Ron Paul would reduce taxes and eliminate the IRS. Warned of the dangers of foreign entanglements. Now thousands of your men and women suffer and die protecting and building foreign nations while your government plans a military draft. Ron Paul would stop the war and bring the troops home. The founding fathers warned of the dangers of government spending. Now your growing national debt stands at $9 trillion and your children are debt slaves from the day they are born. Ron Paul would end unconstitutional spending and balance the federal budget. The founding fathers warned of the dangers of a central bank, the Federal Reserve, and a debt-based fiat monetary system. Now your government can borrow and warn and spend endlessly while destroying the value of your savings. Ron Paul would stop inflation by restoring honest money. The founding fathers warned to obey the Constitution because power corrupts. Now a secretive government can spy on you and detain you at will under the guise of national security. Ron Paul would restore individual rights, liberty, and habeas corpus. The founding fathers warned of the dangers of political parties. Now you have two political parties that conspire against the people, plundering you while they pretend to oppose each other. Ron Paul would return the government to the people. The founding fathers warned to keep your nation sovereign and independent. Now you submit to the UN and NAFTA authority as your border is deliberately left open to endless illegal immigration. Ron Paul would put America and Americans first. The founding fathers warned of the importance of an honest, independent, and unbiased press. Now your centralized mainstream media is full of propaganda, distortions, and omissions. Ron Paul would communicate honestly. Warned that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. While you were distracted, the government stole your liberty and bankrupted your nation. Ron Paul would restore the vision of the founding fathers of this great nation. The founding fathers warned that a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. Now you are servants to a government to which you have traded self-reliance and individual freedom for entitlement programs and free handouts that steal your wages. Ron Paul would return America to a constitutionally limited government. For these reasons, we, the founders, support the Ron Paul Revolution. We advise you to support Ron Paul for president with your time, fortunes, and sacred honor. Paid for by Lawrence Leopard. Now, I have it that Mr. Leopard, and if you'd like to email him a email of thank you for doing this, is his email is lwlepard@gmail.com, lwlepard@gmail.com. Email him a little note, say thank you so much for doing that. He is a independently wealthy gentleman in Massachusetts who put this together. So thank you so much, Mr. Leopard. I wish there were more Americans like you. And in fact, we already know there are many more all over the country. Let's see. What else do I have for you today? Ron Paul, a Republican, takes the lead against the war. Rolling Stone magazine. I don't know where this is in Rolling Stone. I'm reading the online edition, obviously. But Ron Paul's a rock star. He is in the Rockstar magazine. He is in Rolling Stone. Let me read a little bit of this to you. Let me see how long this article is. It's not too long. I'll try to run through it quickly. Ron Paul may be an old school Republican, but no other candidate running for president in either party. Hold on a second. I'll get right back to that. I'm going to pull this picture down, and now you can see my ugly mug again. Here I am. Whoops. Okay. All right. Back to the article. Oh, by the way, I was surprised to learn that a lot of people don't understand that this show functions in two formats. You can watch it. And to watch it, you go to ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and you have to have Flash Player installed. Go to flash.com or just Google download Flash Player Windows or download Flash Player Macintosh or something, whatever Apple or whatever computer system you have, and you'll install the Flash Player, and then you'll be able to watch the show. Now, your internet connection may not be strong enough. You may not have enough bandwidth to watch it. It's possible that it may not work for you. It's possible that your computer may be too old. There may be incompatibilities. But if you want to try it, it's ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And on the same page, on the upper right-hand corner, there's also a button that says Listen Live. So if you're having trouble with the video stream and you don't want to watch, and you just want to listen, just click the Listen Live button. Now, that particular button also requires Flash installed. There's a link on the left-hand side in the menu that says Listen, and you can click on that, and that will take you to other players that are not Flash-based, that are based on other media players where you might have some luck to listen that way. And if you felt like calling into the show, the number's up on the screen, 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494. I'd love to get your thoughts, ideas, feelings about anything that we're talking about today, particularly the situation of the government moving closer and closer to demonizing certain segments of the population as internal threats, and the comments by Mr. Glenn Beck in his attempt to propagandize in that direction, or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Ron Paul's I'm surprised at Ron Paul's numbers moving up in the polls, because we know that they're manipulated. But it's probable that the pollsters now feel obligated to report something of the truth, because it's becoming increasingly undeniable that Ron Paul has major support among the population. Rolling Stone: Ron Paul may be an old school Republican, but no other candidate running for president in either party has spoken out against the war in Iraq as bluntly as he has. Sure, the former obstetrician has a goofy nostalgia for the gold standard, not to mention medieval views on abortion and immigration. Okay, but his I'm reading this for the first time with you, by the way. But his anti-war stance has not only helped him bank more campaign cash than Iraq backer John McCain, it has garnered him more contributions from military families than any candidate in the race. On November 5th, Paul raised $4.2 million online, a record single-day haul for a GOP presidential candidate. Rolling Stone caught up with the 72-year-old Texan in between votes at his day job in the House of Representatives. What do you make of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and current U.S. posturing towards Iran? He's a loudmouth and he hurts their cause, but we help his cause when we gang up against him. When we pass sanctions against him, the dissidents in Iran who would like to get rid of him rally around him for nationalistic reasons. I'm going to comment that was my reaction back in the first Bush administration when he decided to label Iran as one of the triumvirate of the Axis of Evil. At that time, the moderate reformers in Iran were making major headway. They were actually winning elections and taking power away from the clerics and away from, you know, the hard right wing, left wing, whatever you want to call them, Muslim fanatics. They were really winning. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, George Bush says, Iran is part of the Axis of Evil. Now, what do you think that did for the reformers? It just about crushed them politically. So that is the point that Ron Paul's making here. Again, back to Ron Paul's comments, we get hysterical over a guy who doesn't have a single weapon, and nobody's proven that he's ever violated the Arms Non-Proliferation Treaty. Matter of fact, the International Atomic Energy Agency is going to have an agreement with him by the end of the year. That's why you have all this warmongering going on, is try to find an excuse to start bombing him before they prove he doesn't have a chance of having a weapon. That's exactly what we did with Iraq. I'm scared to death they're getting ready to do that with Iran. The Bush administration says Iran is supporting the Iraqi insurgency. How much can we trust that assessment? About as much, this is Ron Paul, this ought to be good, about as much as what we heard about Iraq before the war. What was true about that? Very little, if anything. They're capable of telling us anything if they want to go to war, and that's what they want. Whether the Iranians have helped the insurgency or not is almost irrelevant from my viewpoint. Why wouldn't they have an interest? It's like saying if the Russians were in Mexico, we wouldn't have an interest in who wins that war. We'd have every right. They're the next-door neighbor. But the administration alleges that Iranians... This is the question. The administration alleges the Iranians aren't just backing the Shia against the Sunni. They are complicit in the slaughter of our soldiers. I haven't seen any proof of that. This is Ron Paul. They're assuming that it's true, but that's part of the war hysteria that's going on. Question. Giuliani seems to be the warmonger-in-chief leading the drumbeat for war with Iran. What would a Giuliani presidency mean for our national security? If someone is unhappy with the Bush policy, they would find Giuliani's would be even more extreme. But since Giuliani is so anxious to go to war, somebody ought to ask him why he didn't go when he was called up instead of ducking it like some of the other chicken hawks. He took, what, 4 deferrals? Wow, love that. Take off the gloves, congressman. The kids today are expected to go the kids today are expected to go because Giuliani likes this stuff. But whether it's Cheney or Giuliani, these guys think it's quite proper to go to war when they feel like it. But they never had to expose themselves. I got to read that again. I'm loving this. Never, we have yet to hear the congressman go on the offensive against the front runner, and we just got it right here. Now that's a sign. When you're gaining strength and you're confident, that's when you take the gloves off and you take a pop at the front runner. If someone is unhappy with the Bush policy, they would find Giuliani's would be even more extreme. But since Giuliani is so anxious to go to war, somebody ought to ask him why he didn't go when he was called up instead of ducking it like some of those other chicken hawks. He took, what, 4 deferrals? Ha ha. All right, Congressman Paul getting fired up on the election campaign. In a recent debate, this is a question from Rolling Stone magazine, folks who may have just joined. We are reading from the Rolling Stone magazine from today. Article interview with Ron Paul. In a recent debate, you blasted Mike Huckabee for supporting the war, saying we're only staying in Iraq to save face. But wouldn't leaving Iraq be a propaganda victory for bin Laden? Everything is much worse if we stay, Ron Paul answering. Everything is much worse if we stay. Right now, they're very content to bleed us in Iraq, bleed us financially and by killing Americans. We lose lives, we spend money we don't have, it furthers our financial crisis. The longer we're there, the stronger Al-Qaeda gets. Our being there is the greatest incentive conceivable to help Osama bin Laden. I'm just chuckling because it's so true. The evidence is very clear. there's more Al-Qaeda now than before. Well, let's put it this way. There were no Al-Qaeda in Iraq before, which means we are in greater danger of being hit by terrorists than before. Besides, who are the people telling us there'll be problems if we leave? The same ones who said it would be a cakewalk. What kind of credibility do they have? Question. You talk about limiting the size of government. How much of the Pentagon's budget would you axe? We are now spending close to $1 trillion a year. But when you add up every single thing we do overseas... We are now spending close to $1 trillion a year when you add up every single thing we do overseas. You could start off easily cutting $100 billion. Bring the troops home, you could save $200 billion the next year, and maybe $250 billion the year after that. Quit paying to blow up bridges in Iraq and then paying to rebuild them. Bring that money home. Our bridges are falling down. Our levees are falling down. The only way we can get enough money is by stopping this insane foreign policy of running this empire that we can't afford. Policing the world? It's impossible. I say, just quit it. Let's come home. Bring the troops home. Quit spending the money. Get rid of selective service. Don't have the draft. And no more wars like this. It's a real tragedy and a real black mark on our record. Great interview with Rolling Stone magazine. Unfortunately, they only asked questions almost entirely about foreign policy. I would have liked to have seen them dig into other issues. Perhaps they did, and it's just not published. So, Rolling Stone. So, very little television news coverage, very little visual media coverage in the last few days. Lots of print stuff. Here we got something on... here's another poll. The National Review, online major magazine, the campaign spot. Zogby predicts Ron Paul could get 15 to 18% in New Hampshire. On the Sean Hannity radio program, pollster John Zogby said that Texas Congressman Ron Paul could end up surprising the field and embarrass a lot of the frontrunners by wildly exceeding expectations, taking 15 to 18% in the New Hampshire primary. I want to see that video. I'm going to look for that for you, folks, because that's going to be precious to see the look on Hannity's face. An incredulous Hannity asked, you don't see any chance he wins this thing, do you? Zogby said no. A Zogby poll in September found Paul with 3% of the vote. Three recent polls, St. Anselm, Marist, and the Globe University of New Hampshire, have put Paul at 7%. Obviously, a new poll came out today that I read for you earlier that has Ron Paul at 8%. In New Hampshire. MTV. Okay. Ron Paul's campus army putting left field presidential candidate front and center. This is from MTV's website. Anti-war small government Republican has internet to thank for record-breaking campaign contributions. Now, this features a friend of mine from the L.A. area here, Jeff Hubbard. We worked together on putting together Ron Paul's visit to L.A. It's rather a lengthy piece. So what I'm going to do is just tell you to go to mtvnews.com, and I'm going to go ahead and put up the piece. But I scanned it, and it looks like a decent piece. Let me go ahead and throw this up for you. Give me a second. Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, here we go. I'm learning this new software, so give me a sec. Acting funky. Oh man, there's something wrong. Go to the. All right, let's try that. Here we go. No. All right. Heck with it. This is beta software. Seriously, it's not ready for prime time, but I'm using it anyway because I'm on the cutting edge. And anyway, go to MTV.com and you'll find the article that talks about my friend Jeff Hubbard, a Ron Paul organizer at the University of Southern California, and the situation on the campuses with Ron Paul support. There are a whole bunch of other pieces. There's something in the Atlantic, at theatlantic.com, which is the Atlantic Monthly's website, major magazine. There's something on salon.com. There's something on, what do we got here? USA Today. USA Today, Ron Paul's campaign says he added another $1 million last week. Representative Ron Paul, and it is at $8.1 million, by the way, now over $8.1 million for the quarter. Representative Ron Paul's campaign says he is on a fundraising roll. Last week there was news that Ron Paul set a one-day internet fundraising record of $4.2 million. Today the Republican Congressman campaign said that it hauled in another $1 million in the past week from 12,000 additional contributors, which averages out to about $83 per donor. Paul campaign says it's on track to raise $12 million for this quarter. Actually, I think it's fairly safe to say that we will raise $12 million in a single day on December 16th. That is going to be the day of the next big Ron Paul fundraising effort, and that is the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. So, I'll just break it for you right now. What I'm going to be proposing, and I'm going to be posting this tonight for our Los Angeles groups, and also putting it out nationally, to support that effort and to benefit the most that we can from that effort, I am proposing, it is a Sunday, December 16th, that we have our own Tea Party in every city of America. That we in Los Angeles here, by example, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have the Santa Monica Tea Party. We're going to get crates, you know, from a Trader Joe's, you know, some nice wood crates that look like they might have contained tea or such. And we're going to get crates, and we're going to paint them up and stencil them with words and representations of that which we wish to throw overboard. That which we wish to throw overboard. I think throw overboard is going to ring a little bit better than overthrow, given the, where we're at politically. So let's go with throw overboard rather than overthrow. Crates labeled IRS, excessive taxation, North American Union, Patriot Act, big government, warfare state, welfare state, as you know, the Federal Reserve, fiat money. I mean, all the things that we as a movement, as the freedom movement, as the Ron Paul Revolution intend to throw overboard. And in those crates, we can put something like dead leaves, which will be something similar to tea. We're going to march, I would say it's approximately a march of about 2 miles in a procession, carrying these crates with a banner that says, "The Santa Monica Tea Party, Vote Ron Paul," through the Santa Monica Promenade, which is a very trafficked public pedestrian walkway shopping area, down Santa Monica Pier, world-famous Santa Monica Pier. And when we arrive at the Pacific Ocean, we will have a ceremony, and we will say a statement about each of these things that we want to overthrow. We'll say, the Federal Reserve. We wish to throw this. Shall we throw this overboard? Shall we eliminate the Federal Reserve, which has corrupted our economy, which has enriched special interests, which has stolen our wealth through inflation, and then get a resounding yay from the crowd and throw it overboard. And this we will do with all of these things that we seek to throw overboard. The idea here is to have fun, but to also create a visual event on a historical American holiday to coincide with the Tea Party event, fundraising event, which will be headline news all day long. We will be raising minimum of $8 million, probably $8 to $12 million on that day. It's utterly trashing every record. And we will capitalize on that by being in a place where the media can find us, interview us, videotape us, and put us on the national news as this is happening. As the money is pouring in, we are pouring out all of these aspects of government in society that we see we need to throw over. We need to get rid of it. Okay? So a media event coinciding with the fundraising event nationally, everywhere, people doing this. The amount of publicity we can get will be astounding. So I hope that you will join us in having a Tea Party reenactment in your city. Now, we're going to have the Santa Monica Tea Party here. Now, if you're in a landlocked city, well, you'll have to figure something else out. Put it in a dumpster, something like that. But the same theme. Throw it overboard and celebrate. Celebrate. Create a public opportunity for the media to see the Ron Paul revolution in action live on the street on that day. Gotta do it. Really important. So this is going out tonight. Hope that you'll join me in that effort. We have something new, a new video called Land of the Free, which I'm going to leave you with today. And that this video is, again, about this Boston Tea Party event, the fundraising event. And I really like this theme a lot more than the Guy Fawkes. And I'm going to stop hammering on that, but I'll try to make this the last time I mention it, unless it comes up in the media again. You know, I just think that this is something that people can relate to. Okay, it's an American event in our revolution, the Boston Tea Party. It's something that people identify with. Okay, and you know, we can't be too shy and back down from bullies like Glenn Beck who try to tell us, well, you know, their revolution, it's still a little bit scary. You know, it could get violent. No, we, as Ron Paul said, we are continuing our original revolution by other means, by this means that I'm speaking to you right now, okay, by technology, by organization, you know, by taking action politically, okay? That's American. That's as American as it gets. And I like the theme. I like the theme a lot. And I think that is something that lots of people, and lots more people, will be able to get behind. And we can throw this thing over, you know, throw it over. Not necessarily overthrow, but throw it over. You know, throw it overboard into the drink, into the water, so that we can get a fresh start and a new dawn for America. So I'm going to leave you with that. And you can watch this really quite nice and inspiring piece about the upcoming December 16th Boston Tea Party. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
foundation for a police state has been put in place, and it's urgent to mobilize resistance before it's too late.
I am absolutely opposed to a national ID card. This is a total contradiction of what a free society is all about. It's time that American soldiers quit being killed, and it's time for us to quit killing a lot of other people that have not attacked us.
What's success?
What wins is one is the
That's
goal.
Not gonna happen.
He isn't. He wins every post debate poll. I see his and only his signs all over my city. He sets fundraising records. For the last, the media want Rudy versus Hillary, so his campaign's already dead in the water. Pathetic. Our voice means nothing.
$4.3 million raised online in a 24-hour period.
It's an amazing sum of money. I don't remember someone doing that out on the campaign trail. What's going on? Because this is a pretty incredible story.
Fundraising bonanza by him, Ron Paul.
All right, all I can tell you is there is something going on here. It looks like a prairie fire out here in flyover country. The pundits and the usual suspects are surprised about it, but it's going to continue to grow because people are tired of the governing classes of